I tried to lick my lips. They felt as dry as sandpaper. I frowned, trying to think. Bad materials? Why would you use... She leaned forward and adjusted a pillow under my neck. Then she pretended to examine my head. This put her mouth quite near my ear.
"Do you recall the circumstances of your death?"
she asked quietly.
"Yeah, I was supposedly permed, executed by..."
Anne winced as I said that.
"I don't want to hear anything else about it, you understand? Don't talk to anyone about that. Just pretend you don't remember a thing."
I thought that might be difficult to pull off, but I nodded. I needed whatever information she could give me.
"Why did you revive me?"
I asked.
"I didn't think you liked me." "Saving lives is what I do," she said.
"You know," I said, my mind wandering a bit,
"when I was first coming awake, I thought maybe the execution hadn't been done according to regulations. I thought maybe they'd revived me to do it again."
Grant looked at me with real concern. I thought it might be the first time I'd seen pity in a superior's eyes during my tenure with Legion Varus.
"No, that wasn't it," she said. "Listen, I don't know what you did, and I don't want to know. I never want to hear that story, okay? All I know is they asked me to do an untraceable regrow. So that's what I did."
I frowned.
"Untraceable? The Galactics keep tight tabs on the use of key equipment like revival units."
"Why?"
"The technology would be easy to abuse, don't you think? What if a madman bought one on the black market and proceeded to copy himself a million times?"
"Oh," I said, having never thought about that before.
"Is that possible?" "No. They keep tight controls over how often it is used and for what purpose. Your regrowth wasn't sanctioned, so I had to pretend it was a test. We do that sometimes as part of maintenance. We grow a random biotic construct with expired protoplasm, then we destroy the mess that issues."
I thought about that, and I was beginning to catch on.
"So no one knows I was killed and regrown?" "That's right. And I'm getting the hell out of here before anyone figures out what I've done. When you feel capable of leaving, which had better be very soon now, you should get the hell out and head back to your bunk. We're in the middle of your shift's rest period. Go to bed and in the morning give random nonsensical explanations that no one can comprehend concerning your disappearance from the unit."
I wanted to ask her more questions, but I felt tired and closed my eyes for a second. When I opened them again, Anne Grant had vanished. I sucked in deep breaths for about 3 more minutes before I painfully heaved myself up and stood on unsteady legs. At first I thought maybe the regrow hadn't worked properly on my knees, but with a little time and patience they held me up. I was just weak and sick. I found a generic smart cloth suit in the room and I put it on. The suit resized itself to my body automatically. It wasn't a combat suit, but it would have to do. I knew I had a spare uniform in my locker I could change into when I got back. I staggered out into the hallway. 2 orderlies passed me, running their eyes up and down my body with strange expressions. I didn't have a ready lie to tell them yet, so I decided to bluff it through. I nodded to them and did my best to walk with steady, confident steps. I didn't even know which way to go, but I just wanted to get past them. Fortunately, they seemed too busy, so they let me pass without questions. I found the nearest exit from the medical section and left what we called Blue Deck behind. A few minutes later, I managed to find my quarters. I fell into my bunk and heaved a great sigh. I wasn't sure if it was the cheap regrow or not, but I was exhausted. Someone's butt landed on my bed a moment later. I opened an eye, fully expecting it to be Carlos, but it wasn't. It was Natasha. I smiled at her with half my face.
"Hi,"
I said. She stared at me.
"What the hell happened to you? What did you tell the brass? They've been sweating all of us since you disappeared."
What did you tell them? I died in the caves, but as I understand the story from the others, you played hero and led them out. That's about it. I don't know what they wanted.
What about the alien in the air car? What did you tell them about that?
Natasha shook her head. I heard about that, but I wasn't there, remember? Carlos had some story about the alien attacking us. They didn't seem to buy that. I'm sure they'd already pulled the vids from people's suits. Our own helmets spy on us, you know.
I frowned. I hadn't known that. Or at least I hadn't thought of it that way. Natasha was studying to be a tech, so I didn't doubt her on this point. It did make sense that our superiors would have access to any vid we made with Legion equipment at any time.
Natasha, I said,
what everyone should do is forget about Cankery 9. Or at least forget about the mine and the air car, all that. Spread the word. Pretend it never happened.
Easy for me, but what about the people who made it to the end? How are they supposed to forget everything?
Just tell them to do it. All of us have to if we want to keep breathing, okay?
Natasha stared at me for a few seconds. Her eyes darted from one of my eyes to the next, then back again.
You're serious, aren't you?
She asked. Then she began running her hands over me, checking my pulse and temperature.
You're not okay. I'm getting yellow readings on my tapper. You have a fever.
It's all right, I said. Just forget everything that happened on Cankery 9. Everything you saw and everything you heard about. For your own sake. She stared at me again, looking more worried than ever. She put her face close to mine.
What did they do to you?
She whispered. I managed a weak smile.
Nothing. I'm just tired. I need a little sleep, okay?
Suddenly a head dipped down over the side of the bunk above us.
Are you two going to get it on or go to sleep? Do one or the other, please. The suspense is killing me.
It was Carlos, naturally. I gave him the finger and he withdrew his round face, grumbling. Natasha kissed me, then gave me a worried smile and left. I felt the burning tingle of her kiss as it evaporated on my cheek. I fell asleep the moment she was gone. The next day I felt crappy. It was like having the flu or just getting over it. I was running a fever and my face was lightly flushed. When I got up, I vomited in the bathroom. This gathered me no sympathy. Recruits live pretty close to one another aboard ship. They towels snapped my ass as I bent over the commode.
What'd you do, man? Steal a bottle from Graves' office?
Something like that, I said. They laughed and left me alone. I crawled to my feet and Carlos came to my rescue, sort of.
Nothing to see here, folks, Carlos said, waving the others away. I know a few of you have had a beer or two in the past. Give the man some air.
Thanks, man, I said. Come on, get your butt off the can, he muttered harshly into my ear. We have to get our story straight.
His shadow left me, and I was able to get to my feet again a minute or so later. I showered and felt better. I tried very hard to avoid thinking about why I was feeling low. I didn't like to believe I'd been reconstructed with spoiled meat. I told myself it was nothing more than a hangover. I was alive and getting better, and that was the only thing that mattered. When I made it out to roll call, I was the last man to find his spot. They called my name twice before I answered. Neither Veteran Harris or Adjunct Leeson said anything to me. After breakfast, which didn't go well for me, they trotted us out to the field. I was already sweating. I was relieved when Harris pulled me out of the line. Looking at him was hard to do. I was glaring and sick. I couldn't help but think of myself pulling the trigger and killing him again. I think he knew it, but it didn't seem to bother him much.
McGill, Graves wants to see you upstairs.
I glanced up toward the observation tower. In the center of the exercise area was a tower with tinted bulletproof glass. I turned and began trotting toward it.
And McGill, he shouted after me, try to keep your head on straight. This could be big.
I had no idea what he was talking about, but I was certain he didn't want to turn his back to me while I was on the training field today. It was one thing to kill a man during training. But to tell a man he was being executed without trial, judge, or jury, then pulling the trigger with glee on your face, to me that crossed the line. I might be alive now, but I'd experienced what I thought was my final, one and only permanent death. That hadn't been fun. That soulless, hopeless moment alone. To know the lights are going out for the very last time.